Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.
But then comes Holy Week, and the pain and the scorn and the shame of the cross. And we're reminded that in that moment he took on the sins of the world, past, present, and future.
I have no doubt whatsoever that Barack Obama is a very typical 21st century mainline Protestant.
When you look at the church at Corinth, it really is Issues, etc. It'd be great to go back in time and give every member of that congregation an I Have Issues t-shirt.
Whether Christ's resurrection happened has nothing to do with faith. What it means, what its benefits are, that's a matter of faith.
Indiana truck drivers love Issues, etc.
The law has been on the books federally since 1996. It's called the Defense of Marriage Act. It was signed into law by then-President Bill Clinton. All the law really does is bar federal recognition of same-sex marriages, and it also says that one state cannot be forced to recognize same-sex marriages that are performed or allowed in another state. Now, the law, the Defense of Marriage Act, is without a defense itself, at least officially. What has happened is House Republicans have found it necessary to seek private legal defense for the Defense of Marriage Act. Why? We'll find out here in the first 10 minutes of Issues, Etc. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is joining us here for the first 10 minutes to talk about attempts by House Republicans to legally defend DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. After that, I've got a question for you, and I want your answer for the remainder of this hour. Open lines, Issues, Etc. Live this Wednesday afternoon, May the 4th. How should Christians react to the death of Osama bin Laden? We've had a couple days to mull it over, to think it through, to get the initial emotional reactions out of the way. How should Christians react to the death of Osama bin Laden? I want your answer to that question in about 15 minutes here on Issues, Etc. We're coming to you live this Wednesday, May the 4th. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback at issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, at issuesetc. Or leave your answer to the question, how should Christians react to the death of Osama bin Laden, at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder and president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason University, and she is also author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on, Todd.
Why did Representative Boehner find it necessary to seek private legal counsel to defend the Defense of Marriage Act?
Well, ordinarily, the Justice Department is supposed to defend the laws of the land. And in this particular case, the Obama Justice Department decided that they already knew that it wasn't constitutional, and so they weren't going to defend DOMA. And the reason DOMA is coming under challenge is because of something that a federal court in Massachusetts decided the Defense of Marriage Act is unconstitutional. And so, on the basis of a state enactment in the state of Massachusetts where same-sex marriage has been imposed. Let's just get the whole timeline here. In the state of Massachusetts, the straight Supreme Court imposed same-sex marriage on the populace. On the basis of same-sex marriage being legal in Massachusetts, a federal court has said that the Defense of Marriage Act treats the citizens of Massachusetts differently from everybody else, and so therefore there can't be any federal Defense of Marriage Act, and there can't be any federal law saying that marriage is only between a man and a woman. And so on the basis of that, they're trying to strike down DOMA. DOMA should be defended by the Justice Department. They have refused to do so, and so the Speaker of the House of Representatives has been forced to find legal counsel in order to defend the law of the land. That is the rule by elite, one step after another, of basically trying to create a federal right to same-sex marriage using the decisions of a handful of people in Massachusetts. That's what we're dealing with here, Todd.
And, of course, the story does not end there. When Representative Boehner found legal counsel to help defend the Defense of Marriage Act, what happened next?
Well, that's a very interesting question. Be nice to know exactly what went on behind closed doors. But he engaged an individual named Paul Clement, a very fine lawyer, who was working for a company called King and Spalding. And shortly after it was announced that he was going to take this case, King and Spalding, the law firm, backed out of the case and said that this had not been properly vetted and the law firm was not going to defend the Defense of Marriage Act. So then what happened is that the attorney who was personally responsible for the cases that he takes, of course, Paul Clement said, well, you can't abandon a client once you've agreed to defend a client. You don't abandon the client. You have a duty to finish the matter. And so he left the firm and went to another firm, and Paul Clement will continue to be the person defending DOMA. But, you know, and the reason I said it would be nice to know what actually happened next is because, gee, isn't it interesting that this big law firm in Atlanta decided all of a sudden, just suddenly it came into their mind that they didn't want to defend DOMA, as if they had no idea what was going on when Paul Clement signed the agreement in the first place. Well, it's pretty clear that what happened is that the human rights campaigns and other advocates of same-sex marriage applied a lot of pressure to the law firm through other clients and who knows what. Who knows exactly how they did it. But in any case, they applied a lot of pressure to the law firm, and the law firm itself is backing out. And so it's not clear if the law firm is going to be liable in any way for the fact that it's not following through with its duty to represent its client. But from the point of view of the citizens of the United States who care about getting justice done in this case, Paul Clement, the original litigator, will still be defending the Defense of Marriage Act. So there will be a very able defender in court to defend DOMA, unlike the very half-hearted defense that the Obama Justice Department would have given it if they had stayed on the case. So it could end up that having Paul Clement do this defense at a law firm where he's basically going to get to do what he wants, that could end up being the best possible form of representation. But it sure has been a long road and a very circuitous road to getting that good defense.
Well, it makes you wonder. I mean, if the if President Obama's legal mind said, look, the best thing we can do to see DOMA die a quick death is stop defending it, it sounds like this may have turned around and shot themselves in the foot in that they're actually given opportunity for a healthy defense of DOMA to take place.
I think that's right. I think that's exactly what they thought, and I think that's exactly what is happening to them. You know despite their best efforts, somebody actually is going to come forward and defend DOMA.
What does it say about the power of the gay activist groups?
It's really quite astonishing, isn't it? I mean, this is a very, you know, relatively speaking, a small group of people. You know, about 2% of the population is gay, right? And it can't possibly be that every single gay person in America agrees with everything the Human Rights Campaign is doing in their name. I know for certain that's not true because I hear from those people all the time, right? So, you know, you've got a very small group of people here who are able to pressure people into doing things the way they want them. It's really quite astonishing, isn't it?
Should we fear gay rights activists if they have the power to sway law firms from clients already signed?
Well, I think the thing, it's not so much should we fear them. You know, I hate this word homophobia. I'm not afraid of people who have homosexual inclinations, you know, and so it's like, like I'm scared of spiders. I have arachnophobia. I am not scared of gay people, right? So that's a ridiculous word. And I don't think people should be afraid of them. But what I think you should see is that they're kind of wrapping themselves up in the American flag and the civil rights movement is really not appropriate. You know, this victim card that they continually play, they're not victims of anything. They're very aggressive against people that they don't like, far more aggressive than people are against them, I must say. So this is really, their victim card, I think you just have to really, really question. When they're trying to get you to feel sorry for them and use your pity for them as a reason to do what they want, it's time to just drop all of the pretense of that being a valid reason for doing anything. If what they're proposing makes sense, okay, that's one thing. But if what they're proposing does not make sense, the fact that you feel sorry for them should have absolutely no bearing on it whatsoever. Because when they don't need that victim card, they're perfectly willing to take off the gloves and be bullies themselves. So I think that's the real message of this thing.
With only about 30 seconds, and then I got some more questions on the other side of the break, Jennifer. What does it say about the claim of gay activists that this is what the general population really, really wants, that they have to apply such pressure in order to get DOMA off the books? Is it the popular will?
Yes. First of all, I think that's completely ridiculous. I mean, part of the gay rights rhetorical strategy has been to say the march of history is on our side, and so therefore you guys should all just go home and quit fighting this thing. That's simply not true. It's by no means a done deal that same-sex marriage is going to triumph and that people secretly all want that. I think most people secretly don't want that. In fact, you have to be brave. It's to the point where you have to be brave to stand up and say kids need a mom and a dad. That's like a big deal. That's like big hate speech thing to try and say that. So I don't agree that that the public really truly wants same-sex marriage, or the public really truly wants the Defense of Marriage Act to go down. The plain fact of the matter is, when you ask people straight up or down, do you want same-sex marriage, the voters continually say no to that. And the issues in DOMA are so complicated, I'm sure that people haven't thought through all of the different legal ramifications of it.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is our guest. When we come back, a couple more questions for her. Then open lines, how should Christians respond to the death of Osama bin Laden? Did God really create the world in 6 24-hour days? And what difference does it make? The Issues, Etc. book of the month for May is In the Beginning, God, Creation from God's Perspective. It's written by regular guest Dr. Joel Heck. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase In the Beginning, God by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, In the Beginning, God.
Hi, this is Kate in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The beautiful shoreline, the calming sound of Lake Michigan, the glorious sunrise, the warm June afternoons. This is Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, June 11th through the 14th, 2011. The program? Dr. Paul L. Meyer, professor of history at Western Michigan University and frequent guest on Issues Etc. Hit the topic? The Crescent and the Cross, Islam and Christianity. Dr. Meyer will cover the historical background of Muhammad, the rise of Islam around the world, the beliefs and practices of this world religion, and what its future may hold. In addition, the 4-day, 3-night Luther Hostel includes interesting day trips to area attractions. For details how you can register for Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel, sponsored by the Concordia Bible Institute on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, visit the Concordia Bible Institute website at www.concordiabible.org or phone 262-243-4343.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. I'm talking with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse about attempts by House Republicans to legally defend DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. In about 5 minutes, it's Open Lines, Issues Etc., your answer to the question, how should Christians react to the death of Osama bin Laden? Should we join in the general national celebration? Is it an occasion for joy and celebration? How should Christians respond to Osama bin Laden's death? Open lines in about 5 minutes. Jennifer, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, she's accused House Republicans of fiscal hypocrisy. She says that the defense of DOMA is a bad use of taxpayer funds. Your response?
Well, it's so nice to hear Nancy Pelosi getting that old-time fiscal religion, isn't it? I mean, so if she thinks this is way too much money to spend on defense of marriage, I presume then that she'll be happy to defund Planned Parenthood and take all that money out of the budget. So speaking of hypocrisy, I can't believe she would say such a thing. That's quite astonishing.
Jen, you, along with some other Issues Etc. regular guests, Dr. Robert Gagnon, Dr. Brad Wilcox, will be speaking July 28th through the 31st at a conference, It Takes a Family. I love the name. It Takes a Family to Raise a Village. Tell us about this conference.
Well, yes, Todd, this is the third annual Ruth Institute Summer Leadership Conference for students and young adults, college students and young adults. We're having it at San Diego, and it's a Ruth Institute event that we all are organizing out here in San Diego to bring friends of ours like Brad and Rob Gagnon out to talk for a long weekend with college students and emerging adults about all of the issues surrounding marriage. So we'll be going at this from a sociological perspective. That's what Brad will be talking to people about. And then Professor Gagnon will be talking about what the New Testament and the Old Testament, what the Bible has to say about marriage and same-sex attraction and same-sex unions and so on. And then we'll have a physician coming, Dr. Frieda Busch, will be talking about the medical aspects of casual sex and the medical consequences and emotional consequences of casual sex. As part of that's part of the Ruth Institute's program to help college students understand that the hookup culture is really not good preparation for marriage, you know, because we're not simply about same-sex marriage. A lot of times people think that because we end up having to talk about that, but the Ruth Institute is about all the issues surrounding marriage. So we'll have medicine and law and biblical studies, sociologies, and me and economics, just bringing to the young people all of the different issues surrounding marriage and helping students to become leaders on their campuses and in their professions to bring the message of lifelong married love to the world.
Folks, you can find out more about It Takes a Family to Raise a Village conference. That's July the 28th through the 31st in San Diego at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jennifer, thank you again.
Well, thanks for having me, Todd, and I look forward to having some Issues Etc. listeners come to San Diego.